Morning. Today's Daf and Baba Basra. We started today with the Mishnah on the very top of Kuvav Amud Aleph. Once again, we're discussing the transaction of property, the sale of property, and once again, we're talking about a margin of error. Now, previously in the Mishnah that we saw yesterday and the day before, so we talked about margin of error in terms of a measurement of property based on the wording of the language of written into the contract. So in other words, when you write into the contract something to the tune of Mida Bechevel, where I'm going to sell you property and it's going to be a base core, which is a definitive amount, quantifiable amount, and then you measure. And you're measuring it either from a linear perspective or you're measuring it from a volume perspective. Either way, so there is absolutely no margin of error. Meaning there, the sale has to be exactly as promoted, considering the fact that you wrote it in the contract or you declared orally, Mida Bechevel. If, on the other hand, you say, Hein Chaser, Hein Yasser, if you say just about, give or take, so there's going to be a margin of error. That margin of error, as we've discussed already a number of times, is 1/24th, which is approximately 4%, an allowable margin of error once you say give or take. What we're going to be learning now in our Mishnah is that under certain circumstances we're going to allow for a different margin of error, and that's what we're learning together right now in our Mishnah. So let's say a person says to another person, I'm going to sell you a core, I'm going to sell you a base core, and I'm going to measure based on simanim, based on mitzarim. Mitzarim are border simanim or signs. So in other words, there are telltale signs in the ground itself in terms of where exactly it begins, where exactly it ends. Take a look at the Rashbam, the top Rashbam on this. So again, the sale involves a base core, and that's what the seller says to the buyer, I'm selling you a base core. Bisoch ha-simanim v'ha-mitzarim halalu. And he points to markers, these signposts, these borders. Sha'ata roa ha-kol kach-lach. You're actually looking at it right now. So this is what you're going to take for yourself. So interestingly enough, over here, there's now going to be a new margin of error. In other words, unlike previously we talked about, where in the wording of the contract you said, hein chaser, hein yaser, margin of error is 1/24th. Here we're talking about a new margin of error, and that is going to be a 6. Now that's a significantly larger margin of error. Previously we were talking approximately 4%. Now when we talk about shesus is 1/6. 1/6 is about 18%. Obviously, 18% is a markedly different margin of error than that of 4%. And the Mishnah tells us, Pachos Mishasusi, Giyawat Shasusi, Yanaka. So if now, let's say, the field where advertises a base core, but also, and this is the important distinction of this Mishnah, also the seller says to the buyer, here, take a look. You can actually see the signpost. You can see the border. So I'm telling you it's a base core. You see the signpost over here. So now we have an allowable margin of error. And that, of course, is not of course. I strike that from the record. It's not, of course, after learning yesterday's daf and the day before. And the margin of error is going to be up to 18%. Again, approximately 18%. It's not exact. But up to about 18% allowable margin of error. Now, a couple of things. First of all, this 1/6 margin of error that we're talking about, does that have anything to do with Ona? So I'm going to give away the answer, but I'll read the Rashbam in just a moment. The answer is no. Doesn't have. I don't want to say it has nothing to do with Ona, but it has very little to do with Ona.
There's no Ona by then.
Because, as we know, there's no Ona when it comes to Karka. Ain't Ona but Karkos. So is this a function of Ona? And the answer is no. So that's, I guess we could say, question number one with a very definitive answer. Is this Ona? No, it's not Ona because it's not, this is land. I'll show you the Rashbam in just a moment. Question number two, why is this margin of error different than what we learned previously? Previously, we talked about a 4% margin of error. Here, why do we jump up to 18% margin of error? So for that, let's take a look at the Rashbam together. So the Rashbam over here discusses, the second Rashbam in the Mishnah. The Rashbam writes, Pachos Mishasus Higiyo, Dahainu, Tfei Me Rov Lasa, Kifle Kiflaim Dishasus, Hainu Kav Lasa. So it comes out to be one Kav for every saw. Okay, in other words, as we discussed already a number of times, 6 kav per saw, 1 kav for each saw, so it's a 6. Now, the Rashbam notes, it's not the same as Hein Chaser, Hein Yeser, because that we said was 1/24th. The Hasam Have Shira Berov Lasa. There, it's a quarter of a sixth, otherwise known as the 24th. Ava Hacha Baitfe. Daha, and now here goes the Rashbam explaining why is this case different. Kevin Damar Beis Korah Arne Mochalach. Kein Chaser, Hein Yeser, Dami Kiduk Min Alel. Remember, just simply saying Beis Korah offer already puts you in the area of margin of error. Remember, we had this discussion a couple days ago. Meaning, even when you don't say the words Hein Chaser, Hein Yeser, the default assumption is going to be is that just by simply promoting that I'm selling you a core offer, automatically gives the seller and the buyer an allowable margin of error of a 24th. So already we're in the margin of error. So now what you're doing is you're adding something into the negotiation. By saying the word Siman of a Meitzarav, so now Matfinan Shi'ura. So you're giving more shear, meaning you're inserting more margin of error. Because look, what's going on over here is that not we're just talking in the abstract of, hey, I'm selling you a core of land. So there now, if we're just speaking in the abstract, and it's sight unseen, and now the buyer's expecting a core, so what is he expecting? Something really close to a core. Again, it could be 4% off, but it's got to be something really close. Over here, however, it's not sight unseen. The seller's saying to the buyer, here, take a look. It's a base core offer, and he's showing him a piece of land. So now that it's promotion of base core, but he's also showing him, and he's also showing him the borders, Dezavin Leisada Zustama Dummy. It's like you're saying, hey, you want to buy this piece of land? Meaning, I'm showing you the land. So, Kamoshu, Ben Katan, Ben Gadol. Ela Dahani, my Damar, base core. So then, if basically you were selling the land, I'm showing it to you, here it is. So then, what then do you gain by saying the word base core? So what you gain by saying the word base core, it's got to be in the ballpark. It's got, almost literally, I mean that almost literally over here. It's got to be in the ballpark. It's got to be somewhere within some acceptable range of being a base core. She karov le base core she no chasiyos mishus v'chein de lo lehave mosa yes al shesus. Okay, good. So that's how the Rashbam explains. Very good. Now we understand what the distinction is between this case and the previous case. In the previous cases, the sale was more of an abstract sale. So there, the field actually has to come awfully close to actually being a base core. Over here, I'm showing you the land. I'm saying here, I'm selling you this particular land. See the signposts, see the borders. Now you do say the word base core, which means it has to be somewhere in the ballpark of a base core. But since I'm showing it to you, so therefore it doesn't have to be that precise. It could be even more imprecise. And again, more over here means up to 18%, approximately 18%. The Rashbam goes on. Okay, the next part of the Rashbam is coming up in the Gemara. I'd like to bypass the next part. Let's bypass the next part of the Rashbam. Okay. I'm sorry, the last Rashbam. Yeah. Yinakim and Adamim. Vim hosi yachzalo karka. Vahai shesus. There we go. Okay, so I'm looking now at the last Rashbam on this Mishnah. There are only three of them. So the last Rashbam in the Mishnah deals with the idea of where does shesus come in this context. So he writes, Lav mishum din ona'a. The Rashbam writes that this has nothing to do with the halacha of ona'a. Because halacha ona de ein ona el lematatlev am a makarke ein ona. We know that the prohibition in the Torah of not defrauding a buyer, or for that matter also not defrauding a seller, that is only when it comes to metaltan, that comes to movable items. When it comes to karka, there is no halacha regarding ona. There is no limits of ona. Shemacher lo shava pruta b'mana. Let's say I sell something, a piece of land that was worth a pruta, and I sell to you for a mana, for 100, that is that's a lot more, putting it mildly. O shava mana b'pruta, or let's say for whatever reason, it's a short sale, I'm discounting it, and it was, even though it was worth a mana, I'm selling it to you for one pruta, he gion. So the sale goes through when it comes to property. There is no limitation of what is considered overcharging or undercharging when it comes to property. Over here, it's all a function of mechila, meaning that the Chachamim did is they basically borrowed the measurements of Onah and they applied it over here. Not because this is Onah, it's not Onah, this is property. But it just happens to be that when a person says to another, I'm going to sell you land and here it is and take a look at it, and it's a base core and look at the borders, so at what point now is the buyer going to say to himself, okay, it doesn't have to exactly be a base core, but as long as we're within the ballpark, so the Chachamim gave the measurement of 1/6, borrowing the fraction from Onah, but it's not Onah because it's Karka. Very good. So we basically responded to both of the questions that we asked of the Mishnah. Number one, how come it's a new fraction? How come it's not like the previous Mishnah where we talked about a 24th, 4%, and over here it's up to 18% margin of error? So the answer of the Rashbam is because over here, just by saying base core alone, you already are in the first margin of error. By adding the words b'simanov of meitzarov, so now you're giving an additional margin of error of 1/6. And then number two, this is have anything to do with Onah? The answer is no. The Chachamim just borrowed the fraction of Onah to apply over here, but this is not Onah because it deals with Karka. Parenthetically, by the way, the Rashbam over here seems to be well on the side of the Rambam. Right? The Gemara says a number of times, Ein Onah b'Karkos, that there's no Onah when it comes to the sale of land. And what exactly does that mean, Ein Onah b'Karkos? So the simplest way to explain it, and this is the Rambam's way of explaining it, is that zero, meaning there literally is no overcharging or undercharging when it comes to property. Meaning whatever the buyer and seller agree upon the price is going to be acceptable. It's totally fine. And it could be exponentially greater or less than its actual market value, and that's fine. And the sale is going to go through. That's the Rambam reading the Gemara, and the Rashbam over here. Other Rishonim place some sort of cap, when even though the Gemara says Ein Onah b'Karka, but other Rishonim place some sort of cap in terms of, yeah, I know the Gemara says Ein Onah b'Karka, but come on. There's got to be a point where basically we have to protect the buyer, we have to protect the seller. So some put it at 100%, some put it at 50%, meaning some Rishonim put some sort of cap on the even on the sale property, but the Rambam places no cap, and the Rashbam that we just saw together also seems to place no cap in terms of Onah when it comes to Karka.
The 1/6 is on the yield or on the land?
On the size of the land, meaning again sometimes measured by linear, sometimes measured by volume of yield, but it's 1/6. Idmar, the Gemara starts off with a very simple debate, and that is Rav Human Amar Shesus Kapachos Mishesus, Rav Yud Amar Shesus Kiyos Mishesus. So, one of the more classic debates that we have in the Gemara is when we say a 6, do we mean up to and including a 6, or does it mean up to but not including a 6? So we're generally spoken in Halacha as Ad V'Ad Bechlal or Ad V'Lo Ad Bechlal. In fact, the Rashbam over here uses exactly that language in explaining this debate. So when the Mishnah says up to a 6, does it mean up to and including, or does it just simply mean up to? In fact, take a look at the first Rashbam of the Gemara. Higiyo kepachus mishasus. Hechadam alei b'sin manav v'meitzav. V'hachi kamar pachus mishasus. Vishasus higiyo. Dehai diktani pachus mishasus higiyo. Hainu pachus minabayis. I'm sorry, minabayis korshasus. V'koshakein pachus mishasus higiyo. U'masisin diktani ad shasus yinakem ashma leil ravuna. Ad v'lo ad bechlal. U'la rav Yehuda ad v'ad bechlal. So the Rashbam basically says, this is a classic debate that we've had elsewhere in the Gemara. When we say up to, does it mean up to and including, or just simply means up to but not including? So again, back to our Gemara, Rav Huna says that if, let's say, you're at the point of Shesus, meaning, so now you advertise this land to be a base core, and it turns out to be either a 6 greater or a 6 less, but exactly, in other words, we've hit exactly the point of a 6, so Shesus kipachos mishesus. So that means it's going to be treated like it's less than a 6, and therefore it's allowable. And Rav Yehuda Amar, no, Shesus kiyos mishesus. Rav Yehuda says, no, that once we get up to a 6, that's it. Now, in other words, that's an infraction. That is too great a difference from that which it was advertised. And therefore, the sale is going to be negated. Rav Huna Amar Shesus Kepachos Mishesus Hachi Kamar. And now each Amar is just going to read the Mishnah simply as each one is positioned, is based on. Rav Huna says that when the Mishnah says When the Mishnah says pachus mishasus vishasus bichlal higio, meaning less than a shasus and a shasus is all acceptable range. Yosem mishasus yinakeh, but once you get greater than a six, so then the difference is refunded. By the way, I misspoke previously. I said the sale is negated. The sale is not negated. It just happens to be now that if you are exceed the range of a six, so then a deduction is made. It's not a non-negation of the sale. It's not a mekach tos. It's not bitl mekach. Rav Yehuda amar shesus ki yosem shesus. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, says that a six is greater than a six. And hachi kamar. And this is the pshat in the Mishnah. Pachus mishesus higio, meaning up to six, so that's it. In other words, that's an acceptable range. Ad shesus vishesus bichlal yinakeh. But once you get to a six, and even at a six itself, so yinakeh, so then at that point in time, that's an infraction. It's too great a difference from the actual measurement of the land versus what it actually is, and therefore a deduction is made. Okay, mitzvah. The Gemara is going to be challenged based on the Braisa. The Braisa says, "Bisimanov of mitzarav piche shesus or hoser shesus harehu hu kishum hadayanim higio." So, if I sell a plot of land, and I say it's a base core offer, and on top of that, I also add the word Siman of a Meitzarev, and here, come, take a look. You see the post over there, you see the signpost over there, you see the borders over there? So he's selling it to him, the land, both by advertising it as a base core, and by showing the borders. So now, if you have either it's less than a six, or it's greater than a six, it now is treated like the halachas of Shumah Dayanim, like appraisals done by the judges. I'm going to explain what that is in just a moment. The Gemara is going to explain what that is in just a moment. So it's like appraisals made by the judges, and therefore higio, the sale stands. So in other words, even though it is now at a six. So, let me not say it so perfectly clear right now. Even though we've arrived to a six, we're treating it like a shem dayanim, and therefore the sale is going to stand. Okay, now, so what this Bryce is doing is clearly comparing the halachas of a discrepancy in land size, where the contract states core base offer together with the word Simanov Meitzarav, so and an allowable discrepancy is 1/6, the Gemara is clearly comparing that to the case of Shem HaDayanim, to judge's appraisal. Okay, so let's remind one another. What is the case of judge's appraisal? So the case of judge's appraisal goes as follows. In an event where, let's say, you have a person who has a lot of account payables, he's got a lot of debt, and unfortunately the person dies, and so now the estate is left with all these creditors coming and attacking them. So under certain circumstances, so what Beis Din will do is that Beis Din will. Beis Din will appraise the properties for the purposes of collections. Let's say Beis Din does an appraisal and Beis Din made a mistake. A mistake was made by Beis Din. So at what point in time is it acceptable, allowable, if in fact Beis Din made a mistake? So the general idea is a six, meaning that if their appraisal is somewhere within ballpark, within earshot of its actual value, so then fine. But once they exceed the value of the property by that of greater than a six, so then then we're going to call back what Beis Din did, and basically we're going to have to redo the whole thing. Okay, now this is what's called referred to as Shema Dayanim. Now Vaha Shema Dayanim, we're back in the Gemara now. Six lines from the bottom on Amud Aleph, on Kufav Amud Aleph. Vaha Shema Dayanim Deshus Ki Yosem Deshus Susu. And now we know that when it comes to Beis Din's appraisal, we know that once they've hit 1/6, meaning at 1/6, it's treated like it's greater than 1/6, meaning at that point in time, now the appraisal is going to be negated, and we're going to have to redo the whole thing. So you see that by the Braisa of comparing the halachas of discrepancy in size of a property to the halach of Shema Dayanim, and we know that in the case of Shema Dayanim, once you hit a 6, it's going to be negated. So too, in the case of discrepancy of size of property, once you hit 1/6, so that's it now, you are in the area of infraction, and again, that doesn't negate the sale, but a deduction is going to need to be made. And all this is not well; does not go well for Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says that when it comes to discrepancy of property, it's only when you exceed a sixth is it going to be a deduction is necessary. But according to Rav Huna, at 1/6, the sale is going to go through and it's acceptable. So Amlecha Rav Huna l'tamechi yo katni. Ela kishum hadayim velo kishum hadayim. So the Gemara says well, Rav Huna will tell you, well, if you look back at the Braisa, so what did the Braisa say? Higio. The Braisa says, okay, meaning it goes through. Well, what do you mean it goes through? If you're right, meaning that the 1/6 marker, the 1/6 benchmark, is the same when it comes to the judge's appraisals as it is when it comes to the discrepancy in land. So why would the Braisa say the word higio? Meaning higio means the deal goes through. Well, what do you mean? Of course it doesn't go through. If you're right. Meaning shum dayanim, we have to redo the deal. Discrepancy of land, we're going to have to make a deduction. We're going to have to make a cheshbon. So the Gemara says, so clearly, what this is now Rav Huna's defense of his position, Rav Huna will tell you, clearly, you have to tinker a little bit with the Braisa and the meaning of the Braisa. Ela, kisha madianim, velo kisha madianim. So it must be that even though the Braisa compared to shemadianim, what we really mean is it's like shemadianim, it's somewhat like shemadianim. However, kisha madianim l'shasus, meaning in terms of what the benchmark is going to be, it's going to be a six. On the other hand, v'lo kishum adyanim. D'ilu hasam batamekach, because when it comes to judges' appraisal, once they hit a six, so then they're going to have to negate that sale. Because the judges were there advocating on behalf of the estate, on behalf of the orphans, they clearly were acting inappropriate in that now they've hit 1/6, and so therefore negates the sale. Over here, when it comes to the discrepancy of the size of land, so when you hit a six, so in one sense, it's the same in that the number is a six. On the other hand, it's not, because in order for discrepancy of land to be an infraction, it has to be above a six. Over here, however, at 1/6, the sale still goes through. It's only when you go above a six is the sale not going to go through, but rather a deduction needs to be made. Okay. Adkan. That takes us to the end of the discussion of the Gemara regarding the very specific question of when we are selling a land and using the expression of Simanav v'Meitzarav. So there is an allowance of a greater discrepancy, a greater margin of error, up to 1/6. Does that mean up to and including 1/6? Or does it just mean up to 1/6? So Rav Huna's position, which is the accepted position, is that up to and even including 1/6 is an acceptable and allowable discrepancy. So that means in the sale of land, when using this terminology, so up to approximately 18% is considered an acceptable margin of error. Yeah. But again, the reason why is, in other words, in this particular case, because you said Siman of the Meitzar, because you invited the buyer to come in, and the buyer actually saw the land itself. Continuing in the Gemara, we're in the bottom of the Amud, and the Gemara finishes this entire discussion up with a story. Rav Papa Zavan Aram Ehu Gavra. Rav Papa purchased land from a person, and Amar Leha Havya Esrin Giruye, and the person advertised the land as being 20 sa'ah large. Again, sa'ah is a volume, and again, what that means is that it produces 20 sa'ah, so it is 2/3 the size of a kor. A kor is 30 sa'ah. Okay, so it was a significant land purchase. And then what did Rav Papa do? He measured the land. Mashchei, we're on the very top of Kuvav Amud Beis. He measured the land. V'lo avelei chamesrei. And turns out now that it was 15. Okay, that's a big difference. And not only is that a big difference, but that exceeds the allowable discrepancy. And let's assume over here that in this particular case, meaning that the Gemara context, of course, is very important. The Gemara brings up this incident after our discussion. So we're going to assume that in this particular case, it was sold with the language of Misimanov Meitzarov. Okay, and the Rashbam says that. I don't have to speculate that much. The Rashbam says, the Rashbam here is on the bottom of Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom. Hahu mochel rapapa hachkarka demizavna la chavi esrim giruye, mashche esrim sain midasa ukigon damerle, besimon of a meitzarov. Okay, so the case in question over here is where seller said to Rav Papa, I'm selling it to you, b'simon of a mitzvah. So that means that Rav Papa got a look at the land before the sale. Okay, now, Rav Papa would seem to make a very reasonable claim in Beis Din. And that is, wait 1 second, this discrepancy is way too great. Meaning going from 20 to 15 is in excess of 1/6. A 6 is 18%. Over here, right, it's, I guess, that, right, it depends which direction you go, but in that minimum, it's a 20% discrepancy. So the Gemara says,
how can you get the discrepancy if they didn't yet sow the field and got a yield?
So it was advertised, no, in other words, the seller is telling the buyer, in this case, Rav Papa, he's telling him that it's the size is 20 saw. So he told them, but at the same time, he also showed him the land as well. But again, by saying that it's 20, it's got to be somewhere in the ballpark. Somewhere in the ballpark of 20 is 18%. Over here, it was greater than 18%. So Rav Papa would seem to have an extraordinarily legitimate claim. So Lavelo Have Elachamesra also come and Abaye Amarle. So now Abaye gives him a ruling that is not what we would have expected. In other words, up until now, had you been following the Gemara nice and cleanly, and you know, and understood the Gemara as well as we understood it, so then the ruling should have been okay. Let's go back to the seller. Let's redo the deal. Meaning the discrepancy was too great, and we have to adjust the sale price and you need some sort of refund on the excess. Abaye said none of that. What did Abaye say? So the Gemara says, "Asal kamed Abaye amale savart v'kibalt." So Abaye says, "No, you knew it. You knew the property and you accepted the property." So the Rashbam over here writes, "Amarle." The Rashbam now on the top of the Amud on Kuf Vav Amud Beis, second Rashbam on the Amud. Abaye matzim Amarle Abaye matzim lememalach. He could say to you, he meaning the seller, "Dahai dekamer chav lo nasat lecha chav." Sorry, lo lases lecha chav. Look, even though he said 20 over there is not a number that we're gonna that the seller is gonna be bound by. He also knows that it's not 20. He did that as advertising. False advertising? The Rashbam says no. It's not false advertising because this land, although small, it's really powerful. Meaning it's like a land that is the size of 20 saw, meaning it could produce as much of the land as 20 saw. So in other words, and now here's where it gets a little bit tricky, and I'm not really sure. Meaning, and is that absolutely accurate? Is that absolutely true? I mean, the Rashbam ends off with the words of Lashpich Mechal. Well, he just did it in order to make his commodity look better, and in this case, the property. Make his property look better. I can't imagine that you could just simply make any claim you want. There must be, I'm assuming, and I'm not saying I'm right, but I'm assuming there has to be some validity in that claim. But even though he's touting the number 20, even though the land is only at 15, but the idea that the land is a workhorse and it could produce as much as 20, okay. But the idea, however, that's resting in this Gemara is the following. And that is that Abaye says to Rav Papa, you knew all this. Meaning, you knew the land, you knew the land well. It wasn't that you were just a total stranger to this land. And so therefore, even though the land was advertised to you as 20, promoted as 20, there's a way of explaining how we arrived at the number 20. And on top of that, you knew the land. And therefore, the sale is going to go through.
So what's the point of having units that you cannot see?
The Hatanan, okay, so I'll read the next rest of the Gemara, which somewhat explains your question, although I don't know if I'm going to fully satisfy your curiosity. The Hatanan, the Gemara now continues. The Gemara says, yeah, but what about our Mishnah? Baruch's Mishnah says, Yigiyawachi, it says, Yinaka. That once you get to a six, and then a deduction is necessary. Over here, we've hit that point. Meaning, the land really was 15. We're promoted as 20. That exceeds the 1/6 discrepancy. We're now beyond the margin of error. So what are you going to do with our Mishnah? So, Hani Milechadulokim Lebegava, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah is talking about a case where although the buyer saw the land, but he didn't have the kind of familiarity with the land that you have. But you know the land. You have familiarity with the land. You knew the land was 15. Savar v'kabel. So you accepted it. Meaning, you knew the land. There was no, as far as you were concerned, no wool was pulled over your eyes. You knew the land was 15, therefore you accepted it. V'hayasrim amarli. So then Rav Papa will counter by saying, yeah, but he told me 20, meaning yes, I knew the land, and yes, I knew the land was 15. But what about the fact that he said 20? So Amalei da'adifa kesrin. So when he said 20, it means it's as good as a land that is as large as 20, but he didn't actually mean 20. He didn't actually mean that to be taken literally. Okay, so we're at, and this is it, meaning we're done, we're at a juncture in the Gemara where Gemara finishes the discussion, and somehow the halacha is, and you know, I don't know how to apply it so well, but the halacha is that in the course of buying and selling, if the buyer really knows the property well, and now that he knows the property so well, even though there were certain claims made regarding the property that are inaccurate, that are, you know, that are exaggerations of what it actually is, but in the event that the buyer knows the property extraordinarily well, so then even highly exaggerated claims, numeric claims of the property, can in fact just simply be dismissed. That's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, how to apply that, like practically? That's, you know, that, it's going to be tricky. Yes.
If you ask the seller, did he measure it?
Did he? I understand there could be. There could be a number of other factors introduced over here. I understand, but the Gemara is simply saying that in the event that the buyer knows the property well, so then his claim later on of, well, it was falsely advertised. Well, you know, it's difficult being that the he had a working knowledge of the property. Okay, I hear you. Or he did, and under those circumstances, he accepted it. Okay. Tanya. Okay, now the Gemara is going to go off on a little bit of a tangent, and the Rashbam notes that. In fact, I'm going to read the Rashbam inside. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer. I know we haven't started the Gemara yet. But the Rashbam is basically going to try to bridge two Gemaras together that really almost have nothing to do with one another. Meaning, we are for a little bit of time, at least for the rest of today's daf, we're going to leave the world of selling of land, allowable margin of error, and we're going to enter into a different area of halacha. We're going to talk about lotteries. Okay? In of itself, it's an interesting topic, but the Rashbam notes: Aidi de Ari b'Masisa b'Mochar Karkel Chaver b'Mida Omatzi Yoser Mechtei Midaso de Machzir v'Lo Amina Batal Hamecher. So, look, what have we been discussing up until now? A margin of error. It was not exactly the size as advertised, and under certain circumstances, the sale is going to go through. Under most circumstances, the sale is going to go through. Perhaps a deduction on the excess. But, in other words, the sale is going to go through. So, Nakat Nami Lahachti Edmalakaman Shteachim Shechaku Uvalahen Ach the Kamer Shmuel Mikamse Machzer Es Mishi Yeshla Yoser Dumi de Masisan. So, there's a case coming up a little bit later on. It's going to be a fun case. Fun for the observer, not fun for the participants. The two brothers are dividing an estate, and along comes a long lost brother. And let's assume that we'll get to the case a little bit later on. And let's assume that he can establish that he is in fact a brother, and he's got the necessary documentation and proof that he's in fact a brother. So now, although they all thought that they were 50% shareholders of the estate, now what they just learned is that no, they're now just 33% shareholders, as there's another brother to take in consideration. So there, basically, you know, you thought you were getting a certain size land. And meanwhile, at the left field, you're not. And then, on the topic, we're also going to be discussing and addressing the question of dividing based on a goral, based on a lottery. Okay, so basically, the Gemara is going to meander and go from one topic to another. There is some sort of loose connection between the upcoming sugya and our Gemara over here, but as the Rashbam himself notes, it's not exactly the tightest connection. Okay, but some, I mean, we've gone through enough Gemara. We know that sometimes the Gemara does this, sometimes the Gemara goes off on a little bit of a tangent. Okay, but this is a lot of fun because, generally speaking, you're not allowed to make decisions in life based on chance. Okay, in other words, if I have a big decision to make on life and I say, you know what? Let me look for an omen. Let me look for a sign. So the Torah says, under no circumstances, in very clear terms, that you're not allowed to do any kind of divination in order to make any type of decision. And I guess you can ask then a very simple question. If that's true, then what is going to happen now in our Gemara, as we're going to learn together that you're allowed to, under certain circumstances, divide property based on a goro, based on a lottery. Well, if you think about it, the question actually is even stronger because, and the Gemara is going to raise this point, although the Gemara is not going to formulate it in the question the way I'm doing so right now, meaning think about the Jews going into Eretz Yisrael for the very first time. Right, Yahushua brings in the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, 7 years to conquer the land, and then division of the land. And how is the land divided in those next 7 years? And the answer is goro. A lottery is going to divide the land. So as much as you're not allowed to determine your future based on outside influences and divination and astrology and et cetera, but at the same time, the Jewish people did divide the land of Israel through a goro. So it becomes now exceedingly clear that under certain circumstances, you can make certain decisions based on a goro. So you have to. The Gemara does not present any of this the way I am. But what you certainly have to do, and I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but what you certainly have to do is you have to come up with some sort of construct of when is it acceptable, when is it not acceptable. Now, at this point in time, it'd be nicer if I can provide that construct. I'm not sure if I'm able or capable of doing so right now, but you certainly have to give some sort of construct. Okay, with that stated, Tanya, the Gemara quotes the following brisa. Rabbi Yossi Amar Hachem Shechalku Kevich Ala Goro La'achan Mem Kanakulam. Okay, so now you have brothers, and there's an estate, and they want and they're dividing it. And look, we all know percentages. That's not the point. The point is just simply who's getting what. Meaning, let's get down to the nitty gritty. Which brother's getting which field? Now it's all going to be fair. It's all going to be proportionally fair. It's just now a question of who's going to get what. So, and the brothers can't make any kind of like reasonable argument of why he should get this and he should get this. And so, therefore, what? So, therefore, the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes a brisa, goro. So they'll draw a lottery. And the lottery will be the determining factor of who's going to get what. And the Gemara says, I'm going to read this again. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ha'achin Shechalku. So once you have the brothers dividing, Kevichallah, Goro La'achan Mehem Kanakulam. Once one brother gets one, so then automatically the other brother gets the other. And the Rashbam over here explains with a certain amount of specifics. And that is, the Kanukulan, I'm reading the Rashbam inside, Klummer, Ze Kana Legamri Begora, Velo Yuchlu Lachzabo. Meaning, once we made the decision that we're going to use the Gora in terms of dividing the property, so once the Gora has determined, that's it. The imhem shnayim ze kana chalkos shenafa alav goro vegam chaver kana dami yepol goral sheni ki im ala sheni. Ki im ala sheni. So let's say there were two brothers dividing the land, and once one person picks his lottery ticket, so that's it. Meaning now, by process of elimination, the other brother knows exactly what he's getting, and he doesn't need to actually pick up his lottery ticket at that point in time. Meaning it's done. Once the first brother picks up his lottery ticket. Vim gimel also shenafala gara kana chalkov ashtem kano ben shneim shnei chalakum lachok meneim kol shash yirtzu af lachlok ben yinacher. So let's say there are three brothers. So if there are three brothers and the first one picks up his lottery ticket, so that means that not only did A, he acquired that which his lottery ticket has stated, but B, the other two brothers, writes the Rashbam, is going to acquire their portion. Now what that means now, obviously they still haven't yet determined of the two-thirds portion that they received which of the brothers is going to get which one, but if at that point in time now they want to decide in some other way how they're going to divide their two-thirds, they may. But the point being, however, is that once the brother, first brother, picks up his lottery ticket, so that is a determinant of what he gets and what the other brother or brothers are going to receive. That, says Rashbam, is the point of our Gemara over here. Just reading on in the Rashbam. Shnei chalak lachlok b'neim kol shashir to af lachlok b'in yinacher. V'achar kach yipul goro lo. So miyo hecha danaf al goro lekulan. Pshita dekanu kulan. Now the Rashbam says it goes without saying that once we make this determination that we're going to use a lottery, so it goes without saying that once everyone picks up the lottery ticket they're going to acquire. V'af agav dolo achsli kol echa bishlo. Dekevim de muchzakim v'omdim hein. Kulan b'chol akarka. Ein agoro maknalem klom. Ele mevar lechol echa chilka amigiyo. They don't have to do a kinyan. They don't have to do an actual formal act of acquisition. And the Rashbam writes, and the reason why is because they're inheriting the property. So it's they're pretty close to already acquiring. It's just a question of brera. Who's going to get what? So that's what the lottery is determining. So, but once the lottery gives us that information, so then at that point in time, we have an automatic kinyan. And no other form of kinyan is necessary. So explains the Rashbam in explaining our Gemara. Okay, so that is the issue of Goral. So, Kanukula, my taima. Now, why should it be that with a Goral, all the brothers acquired, I'm a Rav Elazar, Kitchilas Eretz Yisrael. So, Rav Elazar, an explanation of this brisa says, look, it's no different than the original division of the land of Israel. Ma tchilas begoral afkam begoral. So just like the land was apportioned and allocated based on a lottery, so to over here the same thing. So the Gemara says, ima lahalam bekapi vorim v'tumim afkam bekapi vorim v'tumim. So the Gemara says, well, over there, you know, it wasn't just a goral. You had lottery tickets, but you also had Urim V'Tumim. You had a clear communication, a divine communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of not only is this a lottery, but with divine backing. The Urim V'Tumim, which, let's just explain simply, is the parchment of Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's placed in the Choshen of the Kohen Gadol, which... Again, then this is not everyone's opinion, but letters light up on the Urim V'Tumim that broadcast that this is in fact the Kadosh Baruch Hu's message. So the simple point is that over there you had clear divine authorization. Over here, if the brothers are dividing their estate, so you're not getting a clear communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm Rav Ashi, but we're not the Katzais La'adadi, Gamre Makin La'adadi. So Rav Ashi says, okay, I understand that. Meaning that in the case of the original division of Eretz Yisrael, so yes, you had divine authorization. But that's not going to change the facts. The facts is that the brothers own the estate, and there needs to be a division of the estate. And as far as the mechanism is concerned, so I'm reading the language again of Rav Ashi, ha'ona dekatsaise lahadade, meaning, what do we have over here? We have benefit. And what's the benefit? They're going to listen to one another. Meaning they were agreeable, they were amenable to the lottery. And once we have that, that's enough of a kinyan necessary in order to divide the estate. Gamrei umakdin lahadade. You have gemiras das. Gemiras das is the most important element in any transaction. Gemiras das is just simply a firm understanding that this is a transaction. We're not just playing games. We're not just, you know, it's not. This is serious stuff. And over here, once we have an estate and we know that we're dividing the estate and they agree to the lottery, that's enough to create the gemiras das necessary in order for a kinyan to be made. Okay, good. Itmar, continuing in the Gemara. Again, I know we're on a tangent right now. And again, the Rashbam earlier tried to explain what is this connection. Shnei achim shechaku uva lahem ach mimidinat hayam. Okay, a case that we knew was coming up. The Rashbam foreshadowed this case. Two brothers are ready to divide the estate. So now, again, let's assume, right, I know the Bechor gets pishtayim, but for our purposes right now, I'm going to ignore that. And let's just simply say that right now they were expected to be 50-50 partners. And then along comes a long-lost brother. Uvalam ach mimidina sayam. And a brother comes in from Medina Siam and he says, "Hello, brothers. How are you?" Right, and he's looking for a share. Now, there are, of course, issues of establishing that he is, in fact, a brother, and what kind of proof is necessary, and that's not our discussion right now. Our discussion right now is not going to be proof of whether or not, in fact, he's a brother. That is an important discussion, but that's not what we're having over here. We're just simply talking about the reallocation of the land, of the estate. So, Rav Amar Batla Machlokis Ushmul Amar Mekamtsin. So now, look, we're going to have to reapportion the land. That part's clear. What is not clear, and what is subject now to the following debate, is the following. Rav is saying, but l'machlokus, look, now we have a land that we divided by two, and now we see we're going to have to divide by three. So Rav says, basically, we're going to throw everything back into the pool again, and we're going to redistribute all anew. Going from two to three, says Rav, is a totally new division, and so therefore we're going to reshuffle the deck entirely. Shmuel Amar Mekamtsin. And Shmuel says, no, that's not necessary. Shmuel's of the opinion that, look, each one got their portion. Now each one is going to be receiving a smaller portion because instead of getting 50%, now each one is only getting a 33%. So what each one is going to do is just simply give up a portion of theirs to give to the new brother. So we don't have to reshuffle the deck. We're just simply going to take a portion from each one commensurate to what the third brother is entitled to receive, and therefore the third brother is going to receive his portion. Okay.
Yeah, but how would they determine?
In other words, it's their land, and therefore they can make an executive decision regarding their particular land. I thought you were going to raise another issue, which...
In each way.
In other words, let's say, for example, right, there are six parcels of land, each one equal in size. So before the brother introduced himself, so each one got three parcels of land. Now that the brother introduced himself, each one is going to have to give up one of those parcels to the new brother. Okay, that's... What I was kind of hoping you wouldn't ask, only because I don't know how to answer, is, well, if each brother is going to be has that kind of executive decision where they can give that parcel, turns out now that the third brother was going to be receiving non-contiguous lands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Given that it's going to be adjacent.
So Ben's suggesting that it's a given that the lands are going to be adjacent. I think he's right, although, to be fair, Gemara doesn't make a mention of that, at least according to the opinion of Shmuel. You see, according to Rav, we're good, because Rav says we're going to reshuffle the whole deck.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So there's an element of fairness that I understand in Rav, and again, I know, especially in these kinds of issues, you want it to be fair, but according to Shmuel, does it have to be that each of the brothers are going to have to give up a land so that these two lands now are adjacent to one another? I'd like to say the answer is yes, although again the Gemara doesn't make mention of that. Amalei Rav LeRav Nachman LeRav Damar Ben LaMachlokes Amah Hadadina. So the Gemara says, so what is Rav telling you? Rav is telling you basically that Hadadina, meaning that even though we adjudicated and even though Beis Din decided that, look, two brothers, 50%, and yet now with the introduction of the third brother, basically what we're going to do is we're going to basically tear up the adjudication. This is the idea of Hadadina. So the Gemara says that let's imagine now we have a scenario where there are three brothers. So three brothers or three partners, and they're looking now for a dissolvement of the partnership or a dissolvement of the estate. So two of them said, okay, we want a dissolvement of the estate. So the hachinami debat lamachlokes. So you're telling me now that what we could do at a later point in time is we could basically upend the basin's decision. So Hachiasha, the Gemara says, well, wait 1 second. The Gemara notes a very simple differentiation between the cases. Look, once Beis Din is asked to adjudicate, and they adjudicate, and no new information comes in, so we're not going to challenge or upend Beis Din's decision. Over here, Beis Din divided the estate based on the idea that there were two brothers, and then the third brother came in. That's new information. So it can't compare the two cases. So the Gemara says now, according to Shmuel, Shmuel says that if each brother received 50% portion, so now when the third brother comes in, so the division remains. It's just that each brother is going to have to give up a portion of his land. So Shmuel is of the opinion Kamdina. The Gemara says, so the Gemara says, well, what about the case that we've already discussed a number of times recently? And that is that in the event that the transaction between buyer and seller was, I'm only selling you a core as a unit, so even though 29 sa'a, which is close to, it's in other words, it's one sa'a away from the core, even though 29 sa'a has been given over from the seller to the buyer, if you want to renege, if you want to recant, at that point in time, you may do so, because the sale was only going to be finalized at the unit. If, however, we said that it's going to be one seller for each sa'ah, so which with each sa'ah that's passed over, that's going to be a sale. So the Gemara says, so you see over here that that things are in fact going to be finalized. So the Gemara says, Hasam avad rabbanim milsa denichalei lamocher v'nichalei lokech. The Gemara says, okay, but over there, clearly, what the Chachamim did over there is something that was beneficial to both the buyer and to the seller. Meaning that when it was clear in terms of what the terms of the sale were, so then the Chachamim are just simply following what is beneficial to the buyer and the seller. If they said, I'm selling a core as a unit, obviously, the buyer did not want it unless he received a full core. Therefore, it stands to reason that the sale is not going to be finalized at that point in time. Over here, however, when you have two brothers who are dividing a state, and they are the two brothers, clearly what's beneficial to them is each one receives a portion. And that's why, according to Shmuel, even though at a later point in time when a third brother is introduced, so they're still going to remain with their portion because that was beneficial to them at that time. Okay.
So the third one gets nothing?
The third one is going to be receiving, but only...
Whatever they give.
Right, whatever they give them.